بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رسيت أشعار عارف بالله هذات يقتص هذات معنى شرحكي محمد أختر صاحب نور الله مرقده. The title is مرشد سيد الخاص بدعاء. ساقيا جامع الفتاة تلادي، ساقيا جامع الفتاة تلادي، نور إصلاح تبي دعاء، نور إصلاح تبي دعاء، میرے مولا سے مجھ کو ملا دے، میرے مولا سے مجھ کو ملا دے، اور گناہوں کو مجھ سے چھڑا دے، اور گناہوں کو مجھ سے چھڑا دے، مجھ کو نفرت ہے ہر معصیت سے، مجھ کو نفرت ہے ہر معصیت سے، روح کو میری پھر جا دے، روح کو میری پھر جا دے، ساقیا جامع الفتاة پلا دے، میری اصلاح کی دعا دے، ہو تقاضا اگر معصیت کا، ہو تقاضا اگر معصیت کا،
جامع الفتاة تلادي، وكفى وسلام على عبادي الذين اصطفى أما بعد. This beautiful bayan and dua of our honorable illustrious Dada Sheikh Arif Billah Rumi Waqt Tabriz Zamana, great ashik and lover of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hazrat is teaching us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent us in this world for a very very great and special purpose, and that is to enjoy life. And the only way a person can enjoy his life by getting connected to Allah. And how to get this connection from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Two very very important things. One is a person should realize Allah ta'ala mentions وَلَوْلَا فَضْلُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَتُهُ مَا زَكَى مِنْكُمْ مِنْ أَحَدٍ أَبَدًا وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يُزَكِّي مَنْ يَشَاءُ. That Allah Ta'ala says, if it is not Allah Ta'ala's special fazl, Allah's karam, Allah's kindness, وَلَوْلَا فَضْلَ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَتُهُ, and if it is not Allah Ta'ala's special mercy upon us, then Allah Ta'ala will not purify the heart of anybody but who Allah Ta'ala desires. So we have to have that desire that, oh Allah, please purify my heart also. And the real muzakki, the one who will purify the heart, is Allah Rabbul Izzat. So we have to make dua and we have to beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, oh Allah, please purify my heart. And the system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, this world is the world of Darul Asbab, the world of means. And then beg Allah to join me to that friend of yours that will be the means of purification of my heart. And these are these Mubarak Majalis, these gatherings that Allah Ta'ala has made, these gardens of Jannat on the face of the earth, where the Mashayikh, their main object and purpose, and virtually their only object is, how they can purify our hearts and connect us to Allah Rabbul Izzat. And for this we have to beg Allah, ask dua from Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, and then come to the majalis of the Ahlullah, and then beg from them and ask them also to make dua for us. So attend the majalis regularly and ask du'as from our mashayikh, our shaykh regularly. And these are the du'as we have to learn, what to ask from Allah Rabbul Izzat, what to ask from the mashayikh. Otherwise a person like myself, very weak minded, we only think of the limited temporary things of this world. That I need a house, I need a car, I need a better job. Once a person has got connection with Allah, all these temporary things Allah Ta'ala will automatically take care of. So most important is, Hazrat is teaching us in that, how we should beg from Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala and how we should beg from our elders. And when we come to these majalis, what should be our object and purpose? It's not just we just coming to sit in a majlis and listen to the bayan and that's it. No, we have come here for a very special purpose. And what is this purpose? What is being dished out here is something very, very special. Hazrat says here, Saqiya jami ulfat pila de, meri islah ki bhi dua de. Saqiya, normally the mashayikh, how beautifully they have given the similitude that in this world people get all intoxicated with the artificial enjoyments of this world. And then they go to parties, or sadly even people who are totally unmindful, they go to the bars, to the taverns, and then they get intoxicated with the artificial liquor of this world, which makes a person unmindful. He doesn't know who his mother is, who his sister, who his wife is. The friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teach us that the real wine is the wine of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And who will be dishing out that wine? That is the lovers of Allah, the mashayikh, those who have got that connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They have got enjoyment of just taking the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when you come in these gatherings, then beg them that the first safiya, the one who is dishing out the wine, that is the sheikh, the mashayikh, that beg from him, jami ulfat piladi, then grant me also that whole jar of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let me drink not just one goblet, give me a whole jar of that beautiful drink of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In other words, a person gets an idea first of all, gets a taste of the marifa, the recognition of Allah. Once you get just an idea, an iota, a brilliant of an iota of the marifat of Allah, now you will want to take the name of Allah. And when you take the name of Allah, that is where you will get intoxicated with the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so beautifully, a great pious personality who was a great mufassir of his time, Sayyid Sulaiman Nadwi rahmatullah alayh, but it shows that even you can be having lot of degrees, you can be a great alim of the time, but you need to come in these gatherings where you will get that wine of the love of Allah. Then your whole life will be a different life. Your teaching will be different. Your speaking will be different. Your walking will be different. When Hazrat came in the company of Hakim ul-Ummat Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi rahmatullah alayh, and he stayed that night in the Khanka, and middle of the night he heard the Mureedin making the zikr of Allah, where they were enjoying the special goblets of the love of Allah from Hazrat Hakim ul-Ummat. When Hazrat heard it, he was a man who used to be teaching hadith and tafsir, but when he heard the zikr, he couldn't get sleep. He also got up and enjoyed, he also started making zikr. And when he just started making zikr of Allah Ta'ala, he said so beautifully, naam lete hi nasha sakcha gaya. Zikr mein taasir e door e jaam hai. Now I understand a different enjoyment. I just took your name, O Allah, and I went into a trance. I went to a different intoxication. And now I realize teaching is one aspect of deen, which is a very great ibadat also. But the enjoyment of their teaching, and to put the real ruh and the love in their teaching, when a person gets this love of the wine of Allah Rabbul Izzat, and thus we will learn from our mashayikh. So Hazrat says that I just took your name, O Allah, and I went into a trance. So this is what we should be begging our mashayikh, that O Allah, O my shaykh, please give me that full jar of the God, of the love of Allah Ta'ala, and together with that, please make dua that Allah Ta'ala makes my Islam. Allah Ta'ala purifies my heart. In other words, Allah gives me tawfiq to make tawbah and correct my life. This is Islam. That not just a person says I make tawbah, but you carry on your normal life. Islam is, the tawbah is to correct our life. And what is the correction of the life of a person? That first we were in a wrong direction. We were performing salah, everything else, but our object and purpose was dunya. That I must progress in this world. If I perform namaz, then I will get a better business. Sometimes we have these ideas. But Hazrat teaches us here that when your islah is made, now whatever you do, Meri Mawla se mujhko mila de. That, oh my Shaykh, join me up to Allah. And this is the greatest gift a person can get when he's got nisbat connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For that, as we learn, Hazrat is teaching us that we have to learn to make the zikr of Allah, La ilaha illallah, first take out all the negative factors, to purify the heart, then automatically you see how Allah Ta'ala will start coming in the heart. And then to come to these majalis won't be just a routine, won't be just coming to mark the register, Allah Ta'ala save me, all of us, but will be coming with that enjoyment and that the release that I'm coming to learn about Allah, coming to get how to get connected to Allah Rabbul Izzat. And the main way to get connection with Allah, or gunaukum usseh churade. That, oh Shaykh, teach me how to just get rid of all sins from my life. As Allah teaches us that our only enemy and our only blockage between us and Allah Rabbul Izzat's rahmat is our sin. So how to get rid of the sin that a person, he hates himself, he doesn't want to commit sin, but he finds himself weak, that I don't know why I'm committing. And a person says, I can't stop committing sin, I can't stop watching my sports, I can't stop looking at women, etc. But when we come here with the sincere desire to get Allah Rabbul Izzat, and we make dua to Allah, and we ask the mashayikh to make dua to our fast, then we'll see automatically, as Hazrat says, to stay away from sin, Allah Ta'ala has taught us, فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَهَا. Allah has put the desire of sins in our heart. That is not a big problem, that is actually the fuel to get close to Allah. Because Allah has given us the ability and the capacity of taqwa. Taqwa is when that love of Allah comes. Now when the desire of sin comes, you see you put your brakes, firm brakes. And you're able to use your courage to stay away. You won't become like a fox and meat. When it comes to sin, then we fall into it. When it comes to making tawbah, then we feel shy. No, we have to learn here. And then Allah teaches us, not only make me leave out sin, but in such a way, mujhko nafrat ho har maasiyat se, roo ko mere aise dawa de. That, oh my Shaykh, give me that medicine. Today we are all worried of the physical medicine of the body, and we are all worried of vaccines, etc. But sadly, we are not worried of the real medicine, and that is the medicine of the ruh. The medicine of the ruh, that is that medicine which will give us not only physical strength. When a person has got ruhani, spiritual strength, then see how the body will fight all the viruses also. Then you won't get scared and you won't be paranoid. But what you'll be scared of, yes, I mustn't go into the disobedience of Allah. I mustn't fall into the trap of shaitan. And Allah becomes unhappy with me for one moment. That is the worst moment of my life. So Hazrat, please make my islah in such a way. In other words, give me that special medicine that not only I stay far away from sin, but I get hatred for sin. That I just hate going close to sin. I hate myself. Why am I passing evil glances? And then as a person attends the majalis regularly, requests for du'as, and then make our zikr, which are prescribed to us, and we learn how to make zikr, then a person see Hazrat say so beautifully, guna chodna asan nahi hoga, mazedar hoga. Now to leave sin won't be easy. It will be enjoyable. You'll enjoy staying away from sin, and you stay very, very far from sin. And together with that, Allah Ta'ala teach me, all of us, not just the outward sin. Now a person will realize that outwardly I might be controlling my Jesus, but I mustn't think I'm a big sheikh now. That shaitan now internally affects us, and he troubles us, that now he brings pride. So together with staying away from sin, a person still makes istighfar. He still makes tawbah. And with regular attendance of this gathering, we'll see that the more you drink of this wine of the love of Allah, the more you want, the more enjoyable it is. And this will give you that ruhani strength. That Hazrat Parda says that, O Allah, and O my Shaykh, make that dua for me. O taqaza agar maasiyat ka, O na maghloob, himmat khuda de. That it doesn't mean every person gets this love of Allah, that you won't get the demand and you won't get the desire to commit sin. We are human beings, we are not angels, desire of sin will come. But, O Hazrat, make dua for me, and we beg Allah, and these are the duas we should be making. That, O Allah, that when that demand comes, that sometimes the demand for sin affects my heart, and it wants to pull me that my friends are going for the match, let me also go for the match. They are going for that party, why should I stay behind? They always, and they even taunting me, but when this demand of sun comes to take me away from you, then, oh Allah, don't let me be overpowered. Don't let me be overpowered with peer pressure. Don't let me be overpowered with all shaitans, wasawis, etc. Himmat khudadi, oh Allah, give me that courage. And from this we learn, many a times a person says, I want a wazifa, I want ta'weez to stay away from sin. Hazrat teaches us here, what is the ta'weez to stay away from sin? Himmat, our courage. That courage that you, like you got courage to do sin, Allah has given you courage not to do sin. So use that courage of yours. So for this we have to beg Allah Ta'ala for that courage, and we have to come here, and with that desire that Allah Ta'ala gives us the drop of the love of Allah, and we get this courage, and we beg our Mashayikh also, make dua that Allah gives me that courage, that whenever the demand of sin comes, I stay very, very far from this. And we beg from Allah Ta'ala, and we ask our Shaykh particularly, that apni aaye sahar mein yeh kehna, eh khuda apne kaamil raza de. That, oh Shaykh, please. And then we learn, as a person gets this love of Allah, he himself also now will enjoy getting up middle of the night for tahajjud, to make du'as. And what du'as we should ask from Allah Ta'ala at that time? Ahe sahar, that means at that time of the middle of the night, at the time of sehri, when you are alone with Allah, and you are taking out deep sighs of regret, how did I pass my life? Ah, and those deep sores are coming out from your heart, and you're feeling ashamed in front of Allah, then you ask, oh Allah, please give me your complete and perfect happiness. And this is the main thing a person has to be begging for. Not like our Dada Shaykh says, yes, Allah Ta'ala is that kind, great being. That with whatever ibadat we make, Hazrat teaches us two important niyats. One is iman. We are the slaves of Allah. That is why we're making salah. We are doing the ibadat. And one is ihtisaba. Allah is going to reward us. But as a person, the lover of Allah Ta'ala, he is not more worried of sawab. He is more worried of the happiness of Allah. That Allah must be happy with me. Allah must give me His complete and perfect happiness. And this is what we should be begging for Allah Ta'ala. Middle of the night, that, oh Allah, please, I am not worth anything. But please, oh Allah, you be happy with me. And Allah Ta'ala is that great, kind being. That Mawlana Rum Rahmatullah Ali says, Allah is that great, kind being. When you beg from Allah, then Allah is such ghalibi barjazi bai mushtari. Allah will bud for what is the worst thing. Allah will bud and change it into the best. So we have to bud it, oh Allah. Me, I'm a useless, I'm not worth anything. But please grant me your true and perfect love. And in that way, chain ki neend mujhko sula de, khabe ghaflat se mujhko jaga de. That I'm living in a world, a dream world of unmindfulness. I'm just unmindful, I'm just passing my life, and I'm not conscious whether I'm getting the happiness of Allah, or did I even think that, Ya Allah, are you happy with me? I'm just passing my life. Oh Allah, wake me up from this dream world, and give me such a peaceful sleep. In other words, a person in this world also, you'll only sleep peacefully when you stay away from haram. Otherwise, a person at night, he's on a terrible sight, and he's sleeping, and then he's getting all nightmares, etc. And he says, I'm suffering from insomnia. You're suffering from insomnia because you're in the disobedience of Allah. And said, if that is the case, when we go in the qabr, where we can get a peaceful sleep? The qabr is the place to get our rest. The dunya is not the place to rest. Here is the place to make effort to get the perfect and complete love of Allah. And then we see when we get there, when we make this effort in this direction, like Hazrat Mawlana Yusuf Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, the son of Mawlana Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, after his father passed away, he took up the mission of the fikr of the ummah. And what effort for himself and the ummah. When he passed away, and his Mubarak Janaza was laying in Nizamuddin, his mother, what dua she gave? He said, Mera Yusuf, tak tak ke kaam kar gaya. Ab aaram ki neend so raha hai. The same Yusuf, he made such an effort, he got so tired in the fikr of the ummah. Now inshallah he's having a peaceful sleep. So if we want a peaceful sleep, we have to beg here that, oh Allah, so let us get hatred for sons and give us this connection, and this is where we will get it. And one way, normally the system of Allah Ta'ala is, we make an effort, we make dua, etc. But more than that, we should beg for Allah, which is on a very high stage. Jab se mujhko ae mere malik, ehle taqwa karam se bana de. You know Allah, like that magnet that just pulls, pull me also. I am so weak, I'm trying to make my Islam, but I can't. Allah Ta'ala says, Allah yajtabi ilayhi man yasha, wa yahdi ilayhi man yunid. That person who is desiring to get close to Allah, Allah just makes him jab. Allah pulls him out of his filth and dirt, and there are those people who Allah desire. So the friends of Allah, we all the time never ever think I'm getting close to Allah, but beg Allah, oh Allah, pull us, make us jazz. And when is this jazz? The moment a person gets the thought, I must change my life, that is Allah is pulling us. Immediately make tawbah, start making an effort to change, and beg of Allah, out of your kindness, make me also among the people of taqwa. Those who got your love and are worried to not to disobey you for a moment. Oh Allah, make me also out of your kindness. Just please pull me, oh Allah. And then finally, Hazrat teaches us, Allahu Akbar, after making all this effort, the real worry is the worry of Akhirat. The day of Qiyamah, when even the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, who are totally sinless, the special servants of Allah, but they also used to be making his dua, Atne akhtar ko ruswa na karna. Oh Allah, don't disgrace me, especially on the day of Qiyamah. Wala tufrina yawma yub'asoon. Oh Allah, don't disgrace me on the day of Qiyamah. And the other dua Allah Ta'ala has mentioned in the last ruku of Surah Baqarah, that Rabbana innana amanna. Oh Allah, we have brought iman, and make us among the pious, and don't disgrace us on the day of Qiyamah. Oh Allah, like Hazrat has taught us one beautiful dua in the morning, you get up, uske aibo ko ya Rab chupa de. That, oh Allah, you are Sattarul Uyub. You have covered my sons whole night because you want to forgive me. So Allah, please forgive my sins, and not only forgive it, change it into good deeds, and please don't disgrace me in this world, and most important, on the year, in the year after. Allah give us tawfiq.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala Rasulil Kareem. Amma ba'd. From the kitab Hayatul Muslimin, certain prescriptions given for how can a person get closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we can be saved from all the problems afflicting the Muslim Ummah. So we are doing the chapter on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the seerah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the actions of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the life of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hazrat Aswad radiallahu anhu raised, he asked Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha, what did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam do at home? She replied, he would assist his wives in the housework. He would assist his wives in the housework. Some examples of the type of housework done by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are mentioned in the following hadith. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would mend his shoes, sew his clothing, and do the work of the house as ordinary people amongst you do. She also narrates that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not act like a master at home. He would milk the goats himself. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never killed anything with his own hand, nor did he beat any servant. Yes, jihad in the path of Allah was an exception. He never hit anyone in anger, nor inconvenienced anyone unnecessarily or in revenge. However, when the prohibitions of Allah Ta'ala were violated, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took appropriate action for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hazrat Anas radiallahu anha narrates, I was 8 years old when I joined the service of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I remained in his service for 10 years. Whenever I damaged anything with my hands, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not scold me. Even if someone from the family of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam scolded me, he would prevent them, saying, if anything else was decreed, it would have happened. It's according to Taqdeer, so do not become angry for these things. Allah Ta'ala grant us tawfiq to make amen.
Alhamdulillah wa kafa, wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina istafa. أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وما أرسلناك إلا رحمة للعالمين صدق الله المولانا العظيم الحمد لله we are all aware in the whole ummah here in the madrasa also we have got students of all the different mazahib there are Hanafis also there are Shafis also there are Malikis also all the different mazahib and they make imamat also here and like for example the Maliki madhab after we start our namaz Allahu Akbar there is no sana they are not allowed to read sana So immediately Allahu Akbar, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. So normally a person who doesn't know will have objection. But when he finds out, then he finds no, it is in the mazhab. So no problem. So they are all accommodated. Like that in the whole ummah also, the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, we all accommodate them. We make behind a Shafi Imam, we make namaz, we make behind a Hanbali Imam, behind a Hanafi Imam. There is no problem. So this commonly which we say that the ulama, they are very intolerant, they don't accommodate the others, that is not true at all. Because we know everyone is accommodated, the whole Ahlul Sunnah, which are all on the truth, and we've got no problem whatsoever. But yet the call is being made, that is, when on Haq, there is no problem, we accommodate, we tolerate one another, we make namaz behind one another, everything also. There are people who are married also, a Hanafi is married to a Shafi, like that marriages also take place, but when it comes on wrong things, then there, of course, there is no unity. And usually the people who are on the wrong things, they are calling for unity. So on that, there can be no unity whatsoever. On wrong things, we have to make peace. We can't allow that. There can't be peace on that. In fact, if a person does that, then that is mudahanat fid deen, which means that you know the truth, but you're concealing, you're keeping quiet about it, which leads to a lot of problems for the ummah. Hazrat Maulana Shah Ashraf Ali Thani Rahmatullah Ali says very, very clearly and emphatically, and he says, Oh ulama, why do you make unity with the people of wrong? Are you worried that the people, you want the praises of the people, you want peace and that? When things are wrong, you can't have unity on there. You can have the unity only what is on the right things, not on the wrong things. So we have to be very careful about this. Today the claim of unity, of peace is being made very much. That we must see, is it on the haq or not? What we believe is not right, is not true. From Quran and Hadith, we can't make peace with those people. We can't have unity. That will be mudahanat fid deen, which is a very, very big guna. And this guna is particularly for the ulama. That the ulama, they know the truth, but they still keep quiet about it. You still mix freely with those people. And what is the claim of that? We want unity. Maulana Thani Rahmatullah Ali says, make disunity with those people. When it is the batil, then you don't unite on the batil, don't unite on the wrong. So today we find that, for example, lot of calls are made for unity with even the other mazahir, with the other religions, with Christianity, with Judaism, Jews, Christians, must have unity with them also. And here also, a person must be very, very apprehensive, especially the ulama, because in this year, the awkward picture they will say, we want unity with everyone. What is wrong with that? We all live in peace, you follow your religion, you follow your religion, but all this is the starting, the end of it, which some of our ulama, who even attended these programs, they also realized, and it came out of it, that just the beginning of it is, that we just want peace in the world. We don't want no fighting, all must stay nicely together, but the end of it will be something completely different. And that is where they are thinking. And unfortunately, we make a lot of husn-e-zan. that these people that nowadays it's good, what's wrong with this? And the environment in which this is presented, like a conference center, etc., where there isn't the rahmat of Allah, which will be like in a masjid, there it won't be. The whole reception, the whole organization is different. The presentation of unity in the world, all the people of the world must stay together, and those very same people haven't got unity in their own selves, with their families also. But they are talking of unity in the whole world. So this we have to be very, very careful about. Another thing is about peace. To have peace with everyone. Here also, the subject which is presented is very beautiful, very, and don't you want peace in the world? You are the troublemakers, you don't want peace, you don't want unity. But in actual fact, the whole object is something completely different. That peace, like one Maulana spoke to me today, he told me, one organization or some whatever it is in a foreign country who are very much on our line, 100%. There are articles which come, everything. But now they also are making peace with the, with like same-sex marriages, with the other two, with all these evil things which are fitness which are there. So a person doesn't realize it. He gets involved in this, this is good. Then finally you get so caught and you get so trapped in it that you are, it's too late. Now you can't come out of it. Many people, then they just can't come out of it. It has gone too far already. And the way they work, it is just like the, like these, designers or all these people. At the beginning they will trap you in the trap, and in a very nice way, and once you are in, then you can't come out from there. So we have to be very, very careful about this. In this way there are many other things also which they lead us towards things that at this stage we won't even imagine that I could be, I can be involved in that. But finally you will find you are so much that you are promoting it, and you are a strong supporter of that, and you are proving it to be right. We get very surprised that many people who like studied in our madrasa, our buzurgs, but today the ideas are completely different. And they claim that to be 100% correct also. And they will pass what remarks on the other people. You get surprised of this. So today is a day of time of lot of fitna, that a person has to be very, very careful with regard to all this. So with regard to that also, this present, all what is happening about the posters of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, cartoons, the statues, all these things, we know that it is happening. And this also we should take note, that we just came to know today, one Maulana informed me that one minister of one of the Arab countries say what the president of France said was right. And what, now just imagine that you could never believe that a Muslim, whereas on the other hand, this is the time now that it seems that the whole Muslim Ummah is united on this subject. That how can they speak like this about Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? How can they do these things about Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? But imagine now one person has gone, a minister of the country, he has gone to that extent already. So we have to be very much on our guard. If we are not on our guard, we have to be like free, liberal, and this is free thinking, and accommodate everyone at the cost of our deen. And as far as dunya matters are concerned, we won't be so liberal. If somebody just crashes our car, somebody just breaks something in the house or something, then there we are not so, a child breaks the window of the house or anything else, there we are not so. But when it comes to dini matters, then we want to accommodate everyone. So we have to be very careful about these matters. Otherwise, and we should remember, it's not a matter of just our dunya's life. The real will be how our mort is going to come, to have that fikr. How my life is going to be in my qabr on the day of Qiyamah. What my life will be. Those are the real concerns which a person must have. So with regard to that, now that everyone, we are all every Muslim, if we don't feel hurt in our heart, and Allah make it we feel, may nothing just be on our tongue, or just that we are saying, that how can they say about this about our Nabi, alayhi salatu wasalam. And we learn from the teachings of our ulama, our pious, that they cry at this moment, that what guna have I committed, which guna am I involved in, the ummah is involved in, that today we have the non-Muslims closing our masajid, controlling our masajid, so much so that they made open declaration that your pattern of your worship will change forever. And all these efforts which are being made, we are told how, not according to how our deen teaches us to make namaz, not how Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us, how other people, non-believers, people who are atheists, they are dictating to us. It's a time that a person cries very, very, he should really be feeling it. It's my guna that this has happened. Our masajid, which are built 100% with our money, no government sponsorship in the masjid or anything, but they are controlling it. What has happened? And our buzurg, when these like cartoons and that about Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, they say it's my guna. That today, how did they have the audacity and that they could speak of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam like this? So that we should consider that it is my guna. And this is the starting point if we want the solution. That I am sinful. And if I think I'm not sinful, we should just think of our condition as far as our iman is concerned, how weak we are. And then if that we can't, our namazes. The ummah, the vast majority of the ummah, there is no namaz in the ummah. And then, what am I worried about it? They are not in namaz, but me not being worried is also, I'm also sinful. That the ummah, if the people are, if my children are not getting food and I'm not worried, there is something, if they're not getting the spiritual food, and the whole ummah, we are all one body, and they haven't got the spiritual food and I'm not even worried about it. Now, I don't even make dua that Ya Allah make the whole ummati namazi. That the whole of mankind, jinn or man, we should think, do we make dua for the iman of everyone? Are we concerned about it? And then about our namaz, those of us who are making namaz, consider how really regular are we with namaz. Now, five times namaz, am I regular? Well, the smallest excuse puts me off namaz. If I am regular with namaz, am I regular with jamaat namaz or not? I am regular with jamaat namaz. If we just have to consider, and really it just goes over our head, my head also first of all, that our outward postures, people who are scores of years making namaz, but still our outward postures are not in order. If the outward of our namaz is like that, then what is the condition of the inside of our namaz? And when namaz is the most important thing. So with regard to all this, we should see that I am at fault. I am, my akhlaq, to our akhlaq is with our wives, what is our akhlaq? With our close people, what is our akhlaq? We are very, very far from what is called akhlaq. So Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq that we understand this, the first thing that we realize, it is my guna. And then only we'll be able to move forward. Then with regard to this now, if we also consider that everyone is now, the topic is such that our Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and how can this be said? And I haven't seen that what people report on the social media, how many women also their posts are there, but while their faces are open, dressed in Western dressing, and as it has been rightly said, all these things which is non-Muslims are doing, they don't really hurt Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But when a Muslim, we are not dressed like Muslims. Our outside is not like a Muslim. So these are just hollow claims that we are making really. That how can they say about our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Our wrong actions, how much they hurt birth Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And moreover, when we go to Rawdah al-Mubarak and we read Salatu Salam, and our outward appearance is also not that of a Muslim, that hurts Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam much, much more. As it is famous that that great Buzurg, who was a Buzurg, but he hates everyone, nobody is perfect, he used to shave his beard. And when other Buzurgs told him that, how can you shave your beard? He said that I shave my beard, but I don't hurt anyone's feelings. So they told him, whenever you put the razor to your cheeks, that razor is going in the heart of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You are actually cutting the heart of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam today when we dress like them. And today if we want to, all these things we want to do marches, we want to do other type of things like that, that is not going to make Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam happy. If we will start reading more Durood Sharif, we bring more sunnahs into our lives, and our deen we bring into our lives, that is going to make up the difference. That is what we have to do. Otherwise, these people also will just be laughing at us, and shaitan is laughing so much at us that I've got, and we think we're doing a great service for deen. When we do some marching, or we're putting the posts on the social media, and our appearance is not even like Muslims. The outward also, and we are claiming the great love of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The person who loves Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will imitate, follow in the sunnahs of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we have to think of all these things, that we have to bring deen into our lives. And that will be the solution to all this. And together with that, with all these things, the big call that is being made for boycott of these people's things. Hey, there is nothing wrong with that. Nobody will go against that, boycott all the things, etc. In fact, even more than that, which perhaps no country has done, call back the ambassadors from their country, etc. Do all those things. But the real thing is, are we boycotting the way of life? We are supporting their way, their fashions, their way of life. This is what we have to boycott, their way of life, what they are doing, all their way. And we are boycotting, we are not boycotting their way of life at the cost of losing the sunnah. We are trading in, we are selling the sunnah, the way of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And yet we are claiming we are great lovers of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Definitely shaitan is having what a laugh at us. And these people also, that these people are just like ignorant. We are supposed to be the leaders of mankind. In kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat linnas, for the whole of mankind. We were the imam, our Nabi is Imamul Anbiya. We are the imams of all the ummats, of all the people. But today we have fallen prey to that. So what really we have to be boycotting is their wrong ways. Boycotting of gunas. Boycotting of all the wrong things. Those are the things that we should be boycotting really. Together with that boycott also, that will be just temporary for a few days or something, it will be forgotten. But really we have to boycott their complete way of life. And not only the one country, but al-kufr millata wahida. Kufr is one nation. The whole, everything of all the kuffar, of all the non-believers. But today we want to unite with them. Today we want to make peace with their most stupid ideologies. And Allah has explained, the minute we leave divine law, the law of Allah Ta'ala, and we go to any, my own nafs laws, my own laws in the house, I say my laws, in my business, my laws, so much so that in our masajid and our madaris, all our deeni things also, it's not my law, it's not the imam's law, not the mutawalli's law, it's the law of Allah Ta'ala. That is all what we have to work for, to work to bring the law of Allah Ta'ala, and not our own laws. And the minute a person goes to man-made laws, then he goes to such a, his brain becomes so dull that he does the most stupid things. Allah explains about the Bani Israel. They started worshipping the cow. They started instead of manna and salwa, they asked for the simple things of this dunya. Everything, the wrong things they start, and the most stupid things they started doing. So this is what happens when a person goes, he breaks the laws of Allah, and he goes into man-made laws. So all these things, we should think that boycotting, it's nice to speak and to make good shout loudly also in our bayans also, that we must boycott them completely, and who they think who they are. But at the same time, we are not boycotting the evil way of life. All the wrong things, the ideologies today we are bringing into us, their way of thinking, everything, our houses, our dressing, our whatever we can think of, the holidays that we go for, and the way our house, almost everything, we are totally westernized. And we don't even think of it. We accept it as such. And we will make, in fact, we will pass, we just have a cynical smile if somebody speaks about sunnah. Try and have a nikah and properly according to sunnah and see what the response is of good people in the family. Bringing up children, try and bring them up according to sunnah, dressing according to sunnah. We put Western dress upon them, no problem with that. But we have to bring Islamic way of life, we all have got a problem. So much so that we adopted all their protocols. What the protocols Allah gave us of protection, which are clear, so clear. For example, the azan, when shaitan runs from the masjid, with all his evil he goes. And it is the opposite effect is the mu'mineen, when the azan, they are attracted to the masjid. But we also kept away from the masjid. We also keep away. We don't go to the masjid. By law, if we are for, we are stopped, but voluntarily, how much of us were just too happy that the virus is in the masjid, we will get caught up with it. And then all these other protocols which are man-made, and the proof that they did not work. One doctor yesterday found, when this COVID thing, whole thing started, they found him also, asked him also if he will volunteer to treat patients, etc. They did the whole cause and the whole thing. Now they hear the meeting that hardly any cases they are getting in the area. So the professor who was in charge, they asked him that, now how come this thing is now, they are not getting any cases? What did we do? He said, we did nothing. Nothing what we did stop these cases. According to their terms and their talking, they say it is now just by nature, natural. In other words, Allah Ta'ala. When Allah made this virus came, it came. When Allah made it go away, it goes away. They also admitted in that meeting that it was nothing that we did. Allah Ta'ala took it away, it's gone. So all this year is, and the very proof that all the protocol, that it did not stop it, that in their clinics, the place where it is supposed to not to be at all, where they following the protocols, not 100%, not 200, 500%. Everything, that whole plastic, what they wore, everything what you sanitizing that they did. But we all know, it was a regular news item at the beginning, that so many hospitals are closing, so many clinics are closing, so many people have tested positive for the virus. So in spite of all that protocol, in the places where they are, and more than that, we know people who went to the hospitals and clinics for some other problem, and they picked up the virus from there and they got it. So that is proof that man-made things was not this. And there are so many other things also. History has proven over and over, man falters all the time. Allah's laws are absolute. They are the final laws, and that is what we must abide by. So all the laws like this, and then on the other hand, we all know the taxi industry. At that time when it was so, this virus was so much, but they had practically no protocol and no virus also. So we have to understand this. And the third part is that those people who were supportive of all these protocols and more than what the government wanted in our masajid, they were enforcing it. And so now also, how many masajids still, they have got all these protocols, etc., and they are enforcing it. So that now we are enforcing their things. We are supposed to boycott their things. We are enforcing their things. But the little boycott of French products, of this country's products, that country's products, that we speak about, but to boycott those things, that we were not only forget boycotting, we embrace those things. And we support those things, and we enforce those things. Now where is the logic? Where are we standing? And we got the pure sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the clear teachings of our deen, how to make our namaz, the cleanliness of our masajid, our wudu, our cleanliness, everything, our husal, these people can't dream of it till today. Their common way of bathing is to lay in a bathtub. That is the, you call that a bath, the very, what we also call husal, in English we'll translate it as a bath. And a bath is when you lay in a bathtub, and they make no istinja of course. Okay? And that urine drops, and when they do the number two, and with all that what is left on their body, they go into their bathtub. And what it mixes in all that, and then that goes in their mouth, in their noses, in their ears also. And there are those, it is common in them to save water. The same water is used by other members of the family also. So it is all the time making it dirtier and dirtier. But they say we are becoming cleaner. Eh? So we should think what beautiful deen we have been given, and what should we really be boycotting. All that, who of us, our houses are, that there isn't a bathtub. Many of us, we don't use it, but it is there. We will make the expense of putting it when we're building the house. Maybe we don't use it. Shower, that is also really, we shower, but that is not our tariqah also. Our tariqah is to use a bucket. That is the correct way, the amount of wastage in shower, when we showering, etc. So anyway, we must boycott the whole way of life and promote the sunnat way of life. And not just that I'm talking about it, it should come in my life. How much more the sunnah, the way of life of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is going to come into us, that is the solution. Not just speaking loudly and shouting about boycotting and all that, but we're still living their way of life. We're not talking about boycotting the evil ways. And today, the most filthiest things, lesbianism, homosexuality, the immorality, all those things, we're not talking of boycotting those things, just boycotting the products of that. Allah Ta'ala give us understanding that the proper deen comes into our life, and that we become Muslims basically. Our identity, we are Muslims, that we realize we are Muslims, and that we behave as Muslims, our appearances as Muslims. Allah give us all tawfiq and guide us to righteousness inshaAllah. Subhanallah بحمده سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك.